You are entering a dimension of magic, a dimension of enchantment. You are entering a world of
DS-106. Welcome to the fifth dimension.
Hey everybody, welcome to the fifth dimension. Today we're going to start off our show by posing a question to all of our listeners.
Would you rather fight a robot from the future or a space-traveling alien?
Well, Cole, I'm glad you asked me that question. I feel like this is important that everyone should know which one they would fight if given the option. I've seen Terminator 1, 2, 3, and 4, and parts of the TV show, and I've also seen Aliens, alright? I think, in my opinion, I would definitely choose the alien, because Arnold Schwarzenegger is the largest man I've ever seen, and him with a little bit of robot in him, not going to be a good fight for me. So I will choose the aliens, thanks.
I'd have to say I'd rather fight a robot from the future because aliens are way too slimy.
Oh my word, what a loaded question. Well, I definitely have to say I love little slippery alien. But if I had to pick one, I'd pick big ol' Arnie from the Terminator. He's a big ol' hunk of man meat, big ol' German. Well, I'd pick Arnie. Thanks.
Well, you know, I've seen those Terminator movies, and my God, I would rather fight that alien, because I don't want Arnold Schwarzenegger coming after me, even if he is a space time-traveling robot.
Oh, hell no, I'm gonna fight neither of them. What'd I do to deserve it? I'm like, you know, I'm just a nice guy trying to mind my own damn business. I didn't do nothing to Arnold, none of those aliens. I won't fight neither of them. I'm gonna go hide. I'm going to Hawaii. Ain't nobody gonna bother me there.
Thanks for your input, callers. Next, we're moving on to a dialogue between two of your favorite characters.
Ladies and gentlemen, could I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Use the force. Yes. Feel it.
Right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've come too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
Well, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
Now, you must unlearn what you have learned.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I invented the piano key necktie. I invented it!
Smash is not. Look at me. Just me by my size, do you? And where you should not. For my ally is the Force. And a powerful ally it is. Life creates it. Makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us. And binds us. Luminous beings are we. Not this crude matter. You must feel the force around you. Here. Between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. Yes. Even between the land and the ship.
With all due respect, and remember, I'm saying with all due respect, that idea ain't worth a velvet painting of a whale and a dolphin getting it on.
Not if anything to say about it. I am. Powerful you have become. The dark side I sense in you.
Sorry, we're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
At an end, your rule is. And not short enough it was.
Come on! Bring your green hat. Let's go. Come on, everybody, we're going! Here we go!
No, wait, let me say something. Let me say something.
Are you okay?
That was a dialogue mashup of Will Ferrell and Yoda. Next, we're moving towards a reading of Silent Spring.
The world we live in seems like a different dimension all on its own. With destruction, famine, and war in many places. I will be reading excerpts from Rachel Carson's Silent Spring to describe this world. Only within the moment of time represented by the present century has one species, man, acquired significant power to alter the nature of the world. The road we have long been traveling is deceptively easy, a smooth superhighway on which we progress with great speed, but at its end lies disaster. It is not possible to add pesticides to water anywhere without threatening the purity of water everywhere. Seldom, if ever, does nature operate in closed and separate compartments, and she has not done so in distributing the Earth's water supply. Why should we tolerate a diet of weak poisons, a home in insipid surroundings, a circle of acquaintances who are not quite our enemies, the noise of motors with just enough relief to prevent insanity? Who would want to live in a world which is just not quite fatal? If I had influenced the good fairy who was supposed to preside over the christening of all children, I should ask that her gift to each child in the world be a sense of wonder, so indestructible that it would last throughout life as an unfailing antidote against the boredom and disenchantments of later years, the sterile preoccupation with things artificial, the alienation from the sources of our strength. Until we have the courage to recognize cruelty for what it is, whether its victim is human or animal, we cannot expect things to be much better in this world. We cannot expect peace among men whose heart's delight is killing any living creature. By every act that glorifies or even tolerates such moronic delight in killing, we set back the progress of humanity. The more clearly we can focus our attention on the wonders and realities of the universe about us, the less taste we shall have for destruction.
Are you tired of wondering if that's your phone ringing in a group of people?
Does anybody know whose phone this is?
Are you bored of the same old generic ringtones? Then you need to get Fifth Dimension's Twilight Zone ringtone. You'll never have to check if that's your phone ringing again. No more wondering and guessing. You'll love this tone so much, you'll want to let your call go to voicemail so you can hear it all the way through. Keep listening to the Fifth Dimension's Twilight Zone radio show to win your chance of getting this amazing offer. Stay tuned, listeners.
You are listening to the Twilight Zone on BS 106 Radio.
A reading of the poem Round Trip Ticket to the Twilight Zone by Jonathan Voss Post. There's nothing to do, and you're all alone. You stretch with a crack in the old backbone. What have you done? Do you need to atone? The radio blares, and some baritone beep bops abstractly as horns are blown. The blues have dried out till they're white as bone. Where have you gone? Can you condone the crumbling down of the cornerstone? The shape of a thorn is a sharp, sharp cone. Time cuts so deep, time finally kills the crone. Time takes the crown and makes the king dethrone. All you possess you will someday disown. The honey of heaven smells to the drone like the naked queen in eau de cologne when everyone else in the hive has flown. You hear the echo step on the flagstone. How could you possibly not have foreknown what's carved on the castle foundation stone? All of the portents have clearly foreshown you'll face the problem before it's full-blown, as you faced yourself. Are you now full-grown? The church bell's laughter is the graveyard's groan. Where is the child when the child's grown? Cold is the cradle and cold the hearthstone. Angels in the stained glass have so high flown that none of them can touch the holy stone. Glass-cutters' knives are difficult to hone. Stereotypes on the imposing stone, time and the compositor interpone, authority is all that they intone. To be a craftsman, that's what I have known, to feel a blueprint pull like a lodestone, to leave the bank without the promised loan. He holds his horn, that red-hot marrow-bone, yet blows cold notes into the microphone, descending in a bending microtone. The river runs down to the old millstone. As the wheel turns, you hear the axle moan, the water music now monotone. Grave markers are attractively moss-grown. Grass like cloth on a pool table, where mown with wrinkles were chopped, fragments were outblown. Weeds here, the ruined castle overgrown, their wild seeds in the wind overstrown, where the king and queen were overthrown. Whose overthrown? I think it was my own. Time nor tide nor tempest can postpone. The west wind blows, the weeds are lying prone. Wind wails the reeds, I hear the saxophone, condensed despair down to a semitone. What do I know that I could not be shown? A long sheet of white linen has been sewn, the teeth of all our dragons have been sewn. Lay down your grief beneath a stone. Eyes open, now the ringing telephone dissolves the image of the fallen throne, the dream song shattered by a single tone. In every voice there is an undertone, in every plan, room for the unforeknown. How much of each of us remains ungrown? The winds of time do king and queen enthrone. I have been where the weeds are weather-blown. A round-trip ticket to the Twilight Zone.
That was a reading of Round-Trip Ticket to the Twilight Zone. Next, we have a mashup of modern-day Twilight with the Twilight Zone.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Well, Rolly, I kept it from you long enough.
You know what you are. Your skin is pale white and ice cold. You don't go out into the sunlight.
And you know something else?
Vampire.
Well, you just earned yourself a steak.
This kind of stuff just doesn't exist.
I listened to a friend of mine.
Now he's coming after me?
I don't see why not.
What is going on?
You mean you're lost?
No.
Oh, sure. Is there a restaurant around here?
No.
But I'm hungry right now. So is my dog.
An animal. This isn't real.
Hey, kid, what'd you do to my dog?
I'll never let anybody hurt you.
If I'd have gone the way I know, I'd have been home by now.
I'd rather die than stay away from you.
Well, I'm sorry.
This next scene is a remake of Mr. Garrity and the Graves, a Twilight Zone episode. The basic plot is a traveling peddler, Gary, arrives in the little recently renamed town of Happiness, Arizona, where there is a notorious graveyard. He comes and arrives in a bar and tells the men that he is able to resurrect people from the dead. While initially they don't believe him, he ultimately convinces them. Here is the scene.
You're Mr. Garrity? Well, yes. That's my family name. That's your, wagon outside? Yep, that's my wagon. Says Garrity on it. Yep, that's my family name.
Well, Mr. Johnson here says that you, bring back the dead. Now, that's what you might call a, figure of speech, ain't it? You don't, actually bring back the dead, do you?
That's exactly what I do. I bring back the dead.
Well, now, you wouldn't mind telling us how you go about doing this, would you?
Well, now, Sheriff, no offense. Bartender, please. But it's kind of like a professional trade secret. Kind of like a magician. How he doesn't tell how he does his tricks. I don't tell how I bring back the dead. But I do. The fact is, gentlemen, I heard about your town here. 128 dead in Boot Hill up there. Happiness, Arizona. With the biggest cemetery west of Chicago. All of them leaving this earth with unspeakable violence.
All but one. And that was my dear wife, Zelda. Rest her soul. A fine, healthy, strapping woman. A 247 pounds. But not unattractive, mind you. And suddenly, I lost her. And that's why I drink from a broken heart. How much loss can a man stand?
Tonight happiness will return to Happiness, Arizona, and I will bring your loved ones back to life.
You'll bring my wife back to life?
Yes. Yes, my friends. Yes. Tonight, at midnight, that is what I'll do. Midnight arrives. The deed is done, gentlemen. Your wife will be walking down the street any minute now.
Do you think I could talk to you privately, quickly?
Why, yes, of course. Let us walk this way.
I love Betsy. She was my sunflower. But she broke this arm on 4 different occasions. How much do I need to pay you for you to put her back to the grave?
Why, what a strange request. Why, $500 will do just fine.
Okay, Gil.
And that's where we'll cut the scene. The episode ends with the scam man riding away with the money, joking about how he cannot actually bring the dead back to life. However, in normal Twilight Zone fashion, the last scene reveals that the dead really are rising from the grave. We're going to take a quick commercial break here, and we'll be back shortly.
You are listening to the Fifth Dimension Show on DS106 Radio. Stay tuned for more broadcasts coming up next.
Warning! Spring is near. Mulching. Leaf removal. Window cleaning. Painting. Spring cleanup, home repairs, and so much more. Call us today for all your home needs. Ask for Gilbert or
And we're back with the Fifth Dimension on DS106 Radio. Next, we're going to the swap shop.
Welcome to Swap Shop. Swap Shop. Swap.
Today on Swap Shop, we have a vintage time turner. This is a necklace that you can flip around, and it has a little hourglass type thing in the middle, and it will take you back or forward in time. You could see something like this on the movie Harry Potter, but that one's not real. This one is real. It'll take you through space and time. We'll be swapping it for whoever has the best item, and I guess we can take a couple callers and see what they have to offer. You're on the air with Swap Shop.
Hello. I have a vintage stopwatch, and it is very beautiful, and it will be great swap for your time turner necklace.
Did you say stopwatch?
Yes, it is very good at stopping time.
This one will take you back in time or forward in time, so I don't see how
a stopwatch which stops time would really be acceptable swap.
Or you see, when it stops time, you can see what time you stop at.
Are you still able to move about when this time is stopped, or are you stopped as well?
Oh yes, you can still move about. Time keeps going on around you, but the watch time stops.
So it's a stopwatch.
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling. Next caller, you're on the line with Swap Shop.
Vintage pocket watch. It's really little and it's super adorable.
Does it do anything?
It tells the time when you pull it out of your pocket.
Oh, well that's pretty cool. When you say it's vintage, how old is this?
It was my grandpa's, so it's super old, like 3 million years old or something.
Ooh, 3 million old pocket watch. I think this is a good swap. Let's talk more about it. The time turner I have has a number of times it turns to, and it's really important to not go past too far or too far into the future and can't see yourself when you're in these different time zones, essentially.
Well, you can see whatever you want when you look at this watch, and it's encrusted in gold and silver and bronze and metal and plastic.
Plastic? It's perfect. We'll take it. That was today's Swap Shop. Come again. Swap Shop. Swap Shop. Swap.
Next, we're moving to a Twilight Zone poem read by Casey.
This is a poem called Twilight Zone by Fiona Davidson, which I took and read in a story-like way and then expanded on it and added some effects and things to make it a little more interesting. So here it is, Twilight Zone. I hope you enjoy. Orbs of light floating on walls, creaking doors and windows. That sound of footsteps on the stairs, stealthily creeping upwards. Handprints on the glass outside, unexplained two floors up. Icy blast of air follow us as we walk through the darkness. Candles flicker and draw us towards that eerie cellar. That figure beckons us to join them in the garden. Unearthly laughter groaning as we shiver in the twilight. Is what we hear. Do we go to it? Do we slither out? These things are so delicious. We're scared, but what could it be? A monster? These things are so delicious. Oh, that eerie figure by the cellar. We go to it. Our life. It's kind of flashing before us. The space, the time we've been here. These things are so delicious. What could that figure be? Why is it saying that? These things are so delicious. The lights are off. It's just darkness around us. No orbs, just space, dark matter. Delicious. We're almost up to it. We open the eerie cellar door. These things are so delicious. We look down. The figure that beckoned us. It's hideous. It's right near me. It's
And that concludes the Fifth Dimension on DS106 Radio. Thanks for listening, everybody. We leave you with a compilation of some haunting sounds.